of who he is, but I know him. Amen. I like the way the apostle put that with verse. Oh, that I may know him. He knew who he was. What he was referring to is I want to know him in an intimate way. Amen. You know, I read a lot of books, and sometimes I'll even read sermon notes, amen, from other men. But more than just hearing what they have to say, what I try to do when I read a book or when I listen to a sermon or when I read sermon notes is I don't really necessarily listen to the content or read the content of what was written as much as I want to try to learn what the writer was thinking. Because if you can understand the way that a person thinks, then you can use that ability to mine the treasures of their thoughts. And so that's why husbands and wives, a lot of times things happen and you look at your wife and she looks at you and you already know what the other one is thinking. They don't have to say a word because you know them. Amen. Oh, that I may know him. Amen. I want to know the mind of God. I want to be in his will. Amen. I want to know what God thinks. The Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. We understand what it means when the Bible refers to the heart. It's referring to the mind. Amen. As a man thinketh in his heart. You can't think inside of that muscle that pumps, can you? When the Bible says as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What it's saying is the part of the mind that it's speaking. It's talking about the mind. Amen. I want to know the mind of God this morning. Amen. I want to know what his will is for my life. I want to know him. Amen. Because I believe that we're living in the end times. And it's not just enough just to know who he is. But I want to know with him. I want to know him. I want to identify with him. I've got to have an intimacy with him. The scripture said that there'll be, and I'm going to sing here in just a moment. I didn't mean to get all preachy this morning, but the scripture tells us that in the last days that there'd be people casting out devils in his name. They'd be doing many miracles and many wonderful works in his name. But when they appear before the judgment seat, he's going to tell them, depart from me. I never knew you. Amen. Hallelujah. What's he talking about? He's saying, you never knew me in an intimate way. I was never intimate with you. You used my name. You used my name, and I bless faith, and I bless obedience. God always blesses faith and obedience. He says, I know who you are, but I don't know you. Amen. I want to know him today. Amen. Not only just in the power of his resurrection, but in the fellowship of his suffering. I want to know Jesus because we're living in the end time. Amen. And that's what we're going to sing about this morning. But I just wanted to point that out. Amen. I want to know him this morning in a way deeper than just knowing who he is. Just being able to describe his life and his ministry. Amen. I want to know him. I don't want to just know his word, but I want to live his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord with us as we sing the Midnight Cry. Of a mighty rushing wind. Oh, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the call. Oh, at the midnight cry, we'll be going home. When Jesus steps out,
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see our King. Oh,
soon and very soon,
we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. While we're standing, I would like to pray today for this country that God has so greatly used in these end times. A nation that has blessed the entire world. Pray for the young men and women who are defending us in one of the most difficult, dangerous theaters that we've ever fought in the history of our nation. Fighting an enemy that some of our government have even declared to be an enemy. It's a difficult time. Pray for our leaders today. I know that God's in control. That's my comfort. If I didn't believe that, I would despair. But I do believe God's in control. And I believe God can change the hearts of men. He did it many times in Scripture. Amen. We need to pray that God would give us godly leadership. That's men of principle and integrity who would step to the forefront with a heart to serve their country. So we got some things we need to pray about today. I've done my share of criticizing, but probably the best thing we can do is just pray. Amen. Right? I think that's what the scripture said. It said, pray for those. They have the rule of life. We pray for them. Amen. We need to pray for our government and our leaders today. So let's do that right now. Would you help me pray in your own way? Jesus Christ, you are Lord of lords and you're King of kings. And you, the Bible said, put up kingdoms and remove them. And in one day, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord. But at the present time, we thank you for the nation that you have allowed us to live in. We thank you for America. I thank you for its founding fathers that were led and acknowledged you with fastings and prayer at the very foundation of this nation. There were pious and godly men, goodly men, that had a desire to found a country where people would be able to worship God freely without interference from government. We thank you, God, for those men. We thank you for those that through time have served and defended and gave freely to make this nation great as it has become. We are standing today at a crossroads in our history, and we need you. I know that prophecy is quickly being fulfilled. We have our place and our time. But I ask you today, God, that you would lead us, guide us, and our leadership today, those that are godly and strong, help them to step forward in leadership. God, we ask that you would lead us graciously and in your righteousness and in your way. We pray for men and women today that are defending our country. I pray for their protection. I pray for their salvation. Pray for our chaplains today that do a wonderful job in helping young men and women find their way, even in the lostness of their service today. And I pray, God, for this church and your church around the world. Help us to step forward and be the influence that we ought to be in these end times. The darker it gets, the brighter we will shine. So, Lord, help us to understand this is our time. This is our day. And help us to claim, believe, and act in an apostolic fashion that will bring a revival that this world has never seen. Amen. We thank you, God, that we're a part of it. Thank you for making us your church. We give you praise and honor and thanks in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You may be seated. July the 2nd, 1776, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The Continental Congress declared independence from Great Britain. A committee was formed, a document was written. Its principal author was Thomas Jefferson. I'll not read it all, but I'd like to read a portion. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are empowered by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a desire to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to produce new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injustices, injuries, usurpations, all having a direct object, the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be substituted to against the candy world. And then 27 grievances are written. I'll not take time to read them. But I would like to read the last portion of what he has to say here. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Justice of the world, I wonder who that is, for the rectitude of their intentions due in the name and by authority of good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, control or contact alliances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states might of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm alliance on the protection of divine providence, what do that is? We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. 56 men signed that declaration, understanding that it would cost them life, properties, everything that they possess, not knowing exactly what the outcome was going to be, but they understood that they wanted to establish something better than what. not declaring an independence from government. That's anarchy. And anarchy never, and only the strong survive. It becomes violence. It becomes fighting. It becomes the will of the strong is forced upon the will of the weaker. That's not a good government, anarchy. But they wanted to form a republic, and they called it the United States of America. And it has become the greatest nation in such a short time in all of history. It has risen to a place of world dominance. And at this point in history is the sole superpower. And yet we are not trying to force ourselves on other nations and to try to make them something that they don't want to be. But at the same time, we have defended their right to, as we did, declare their independence from tyranny to become subjects of their own desire and their own governance. And so they were not declaring independence from government. They just wanted to form a more just and fair system of government. Amen. The Bible tells us very truthfully and very plainly that all of us, the Bible says we were sold under sin. That's our plight. David said, did he not? The psalmist said, I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity. Before I was ever born, I have this nature. And it's so very true. All you have to do is observe children. Children do not have to be taught to lie. They do it as a course of their nature. They don't have to be taught to steal. They don't have to be taught to be violent. They don't have to be taught to be rebellious. They have to be taught not to be rebellious. They have to be taught not to lie. They have to be taught not to steal. They have to be taught not to be violent. We have to teach them good. We have to educate evil out of them to the best of our ability. Because those things are innate. Because we were sold under sin. We were born with a sinful nature. And uncorrected, it will drive us further into the clutches of sin and destruction. That's the nature of it, folks. That's the way we were born. We were sold under sin. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, verse 13, no man can serve two masters. That indicates to me that you will serve one or the other. Everybody said, I'm going to be my own man. No, you're not. You will serve one or the other. You'll either serve self, oh, you'll serve God. And by the way, you can be your own God, but you can't be your own Savior. You can serve yourself, but you can't save yourself. And you can't save yourself from yourself by yourself. You've got to have something higher and something better than yourself to get out of the condition that you are in. Amen. I'll tell you something. You can serve yourself, but you cannot please yourself. The more you get, the more you want. And the more unhappy you become. Because we were created to serve our Creator. There is in the heart of every person a desire to worship. Why do people worship rock stars? Why do people worship movie stars? Why do people worship sports stars? There's just something in the heart of humans that will worship. And they worship not a person, honestly, but an image. It's just idolatry and another form. But there's something in the heart of humanity that wants to worship. It wants to find something greater than itself. Something that will deliver it from the mundane, everyday ordinariness of life. It needs
it's something else, something more, something better, something greater. Amen. But worship is put in our heart because we are creatures, and there is a creator. Amen. So man is a servant to something. He'll either be a servant to God, or he'll be a servant to mammon, according to the scriptures. Amen. And it says that we will love one and hate the other. The fact of the matter is, if a man loves mammon, he can't love God. That's right. You can say you do, but you don't. If you love stuff more than you love God, you'll love God until he gets in the way of your stuff. That's good, Brother Grissom. I'm glad you said that. That really needed saying. Amen. You know, I'm bashful about saying stuff like that. Amen. And, or you will love God, and if you love God, then you're going to hate anything that tries to equal him. That's why Paul, and oh, how Paul described a genuine conversion. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And he said, the things that I used to love, now I hate. And the things I used to hate, now I love. How can that happen? Because it's a change of nature. You're a totally new person than you used to be. When God delivers a person, hey, God's not into band-aids. He doesn't patch you up. He doesn't reform you. He doesn't put you through a 12-step process, but he makes you a new creation. That's how God works. He makes all things new. He gives you a new mind. He gives you a new heart. He gives you a new spirit. He gives you a new nature. He completely transforms the individual. And you get to start all over again. Isn't that right, Amanda? Man, receive the Holy Ghost at youth camp. Amen. We're excited about that. Amen. God makes you a new creature. Amen. You want to change? Amen. AA can only go so far. Amen. That's right. And they may do some good, but they can only go so far. They can only do so much. But I know somebody that can change you from the inside out. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He can change your want to. He can change your desires. He can change everything about you and make you new. Amen. We were sold under sin. We will serve somebody. Amen. I love the verse that says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Praise God. You see, the truth is, when I was in sin, I was in bondage. I know some people preach I'm in bondage now. They say, you don't have to live like you live. You're right. I want to. I choose to. You don't have to do the things you do. You're right. I choose to. You don't have to obey what the church says. You're right. I don't have to. I choose to. I want to. I'm free to live how I want to live and do what I want to do. But this is what I choose to do. That is freedom. That is liberty. When I was in sin, I did not choose how I would speak. I spoke like my filthy mouth demanded that I speak. And some are so bound by addictions, they don't choose what they do. They don't choose whether they smoke a cigarette. They don't choose whether they drink booze. They don't choose whether they take a drug. They don't choose those things. It chooses for them because they are driven by their nature and by a habit that controls them. And there is no liberty there. They don't control their thoughts. Their thoughts control them. Their passions control them. That's not liberty.
You don't choose that life. It chooses for you. Amen. But in Jesus Christ, I'm free to choose. Amen. You know what? I can smoke all the cigarettes I want to. I just don't want any. I can drink all I want to. I just don't want to drink any alcohol. Take all the drugs I want to. I just don't want any. Amen. I know what that life leads to. Don't want it. Don't want it. Don't want it. Free to choose. Don't want it. That's liberty. You hear me, young people? That's liberty. And the people that tempt you to get into their garbage lifestyle, that's not freedom. They can't choose. It's bondage. Anybody been set free here today? Anybody free here today? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And the scripture said, John chapter 8 and 36, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. Praise God. Freedom then is, it's free, but it's not cheap. It costs somebody something. We preached about that Jesus, or in the Sunday school, talking about Jesus today is being God manifest in flesh. And there was a reason that he came in flesh. You see, God set the price to deliver us from sin. And he set it so high that no one else could pay it. Angels can't pay that price. Devils can't pay that price. Humanity can't pay that price. God said, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. And when God made that statement, he himself could not pay the price. But in the fullness of time, God, who is spirit, took upon himself this form of flesh and body, that is body and blood, flesh and blood, so that he would have what it took to be the sacrifice to pay the price to redeem me from my sin and give me that liberty. Jesus walked on this earth and he let us see what liberty really is. He was not bound by anything. There were no passions that bound him. Amen. He walked in liberty on this in this life. Amen. And he took my sins upon himself. And the Bible said he became sin for us who knew no sin. And he nailed our sins to the cross. Amen. He became sin for us that knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know what righteousness is? It's just doing right. Being right. I like living right. I like living right. Amen. Most people say there's your might and my right. That may be, but there's God's right, and that's what matters. You can do what you think's right. I can do what I think's right. But I'm going to tell you, God's right always wins. Amen. I walked in what I thought was right, and I was miserable. Now I walk in what he thinks right, and I'm happy. Go figure. I walked in my rightness. I'm going to do what I think's right, and I was miserable. I walk in what he thinks right, and I have peace and joy. Amen. I'm just telling you my experience. Try it for yourself. If you don't like it, the devil will always take you back. Amen. Try it. Amen. Try it. Don't criticize. Try it. So many people blast this without ever trying it. Try it first. Amen. I'll tell you what, the vast majority of people that I knew that ever tried it liked it. Some of them didn't stick with it, but they liked it. And they intend to come back. Every time you see them, I'm coming back, brother, I'm coming back. Better hurry. Better hurry. Amen. Don't know how much more time we have. Amen. And so he sets us free. It cost him something. The cost was Calvary, the shedding of blood, the giving of life, so that he could give us his Holy Spirit. Amen. Now let me just quickly say today, when you have freedom, you have responsibilities.
That there's where the dependence part comes. Amen. You go from being under one form of government to another form of government. We were sold under sin. Now we are servants of Jesus Christ. Amen. But I'm a servant by choice. I serve Him by choice. Nobody makes me do this. Nobody makes me love Him. I choose to love Him. Nobody makes me serve Him. I choose to serve Him. Nobody makes me preach for Him. I choose to do that. Amen. I'm a servant by choice. Amen. I serve Him in that fashion. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16 said, "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether to sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness." You see, there's a responsibility, isn't there? This body, who I yield it to, that's who I serve. If I yield to sin, I will be the servant of sin. It will dictate what I do with my body. If I choose to do that, if I'm obedient to my flesh says, I want to do this, and I give in and let my flesh do that, then I become servant to my flesh. And it dictates my life. Or if I choose to serve Jesus Christ and submit myself to Jesus Christ, then the Bible said I become a servant of righteousness. It depends who you yield your members to. Who are you yielding to? Verse number 17 said, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered." You know, I hear people say, and I've heard people say through the years, you know, the church shouldn't preach doctrine. Doctrine divides us. According to this verse, doctrine saves us. Doctrine saves us. Amen. Hey, you know what? Doctrine doesn't divide. It saves. Amen. The Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine doesn't divide people. You know what? If we held to the apostles' doctrine, the church would still just have one doctrine. And it would still just be one church. But what happened was, people say, "I don't believe in doctrine." Yes, you do. You just want me to believe yours. Everybody does. Doctrine doesn't divide, it unifies. Amen. So doctrine is not an evil thing, it's a good thing. The Bible says that we were saved by obeying the doctrine from the heart. And it delivered us. It set us free. Thank God for good doctrine today. The doctrines of the Bible. Amen. That's what delivered me. That's what delivered you. That's what set us free. Amen. And then verse 18 says, "Being then free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness." I came out from the bondage of one government, and I'm under the umbrella of another. Hallelujah. But I like the one I'm under. Amen. I like serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. I not only like the kingdom now, I'm going to like it a whole lot better in the future. Amen. It's good today, but it's getting ready to get a whole lot better. Hallelujah. Hey, it's a good thing to serve Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a good thing to declare your dependence upon Him. Amen. So, we came out. We were servants of sin. He has made us to be servants of righteousness, and we are free to be servants of righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. But he talks, and I'm not going to spend much more time, but he talks about fruit here. He talks about the fruit that we had before. Verse 21, "For what fruit had you in those things where you are now ashamed?" What was the fruit of sin? What did it bear in your life? I think there's a real clue here in the fact that he says there's shame attached to it. I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you. Because we're all saved. All of us today, there are some things that we're ashamed of in our life. things today that you hope to God nobody ever finds out about. Because it was done. Thank God it's under the blood. Thank God it's covered. Thank God it's forgiven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's liberty, folks. Amen. Praise God. He set me free. Yes, he did. Amen. God, you're still a servant of God, but you're free. Amen. And then verse number 23 makes it real clear the distinction here. He says, for the wages of sin is death. If I say wages. Wages are something you work for, something you earn. Amen. You earn sin. Sin earns what happens. The Bible said, the way of the transgressor is hard. Life is hard. I've observed people that really are not that old, but they look old because they serve sin fervently with all their heart, and it makes them hard. They get hard in spirit. They get hard in their thinking. They get hard in their all about their nature becomes a hardened nature. They're not compassionate. They're suspicious of everything and everybody because sin makes a person like that. It makes a person that way. And so the wages of sin, you earn that. And the Bible says it's death. But then the contrast, he said the gift of God. Hallelujah. You know what? You can't earn this. You can't buy this. You know, that's what I appreciate so much about God. And God's a fair God. The Bible said he's no respecter of persons. You know, we live in a world where the rich folks can do things poor folks can't do. Amen. That there's a certain limit of things that intelligence will get you where people that don't have the intelligence can't go. There's great divisions in this world today. The haves and the have-nots. The cans and the cans. Amen. But you know what? This is a gift today, and it's open to everybody. Hallelujah. And the beautiful thing about a gift, all you've got to do is just reach out and receive it. Hallelujah. You don't have to beg for it. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You just reach out and receive it. Amen. God gives a gift. Amen. God's gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's our independence today. Hallelujah. That's what sets us free. We step out from under the dependence on sin and suffering, and we step into righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I don't think that's a tough decision. I said, I don't think that's a tough decision. That should be an easy decision for anybody. Amen. Amen. You know, but we humans tend to be discontent wherever we are. We tend to be limited in our knowledge. You know what got Eve in trouble? She had the liberty, the freedom to eat of any tree in the garden except for. And so the devil comes along and he says, you're not really free. If you were really free, you could eat every tree. And she could. And she did. And she paid the consequences for it. God did not put a wall around that tree. He just said, don't eat it. You can eat all the rest, leave that one alone. And what did the devil do? He turned all of her focus on the one thing that she could. And said, God, if you really love me, he will withhold this. And the devil's still telling that same lie today. If God really loved you, he wouldn't withhold you. The Bible did say he wouldn't withhold any good thing. So if something is forbidden, it must not be good for us. And that has been my experience. I've tasted a few of those fruits. And like Eve, I've paid some consequences. And I'm trying to get through my thick head just to leave it alone. Because it never brings what it promises. It always leaves you with regret. Remember the story of the fish swimming in the boat. He had it made, friend. The water was just right. It wasn't too hot and it wasn't too cold. And he could eat to his heart's content. I mean, he didn't have to work for anything. All of his needs were supplied. But you know what the fish did with his little buggy eyes? He saw the cat on the outside of the boat. And he got to thinking, man, I'd like to be a cat. Look what cats do. Cats don't have to swim around in here all day long. Cats get to walk up and down the stairs. Cats get to go wherever they want to go. Cats get to do whatever they get to do. They don't have to live in a boat like me. So he said, I won't be like a cat. And he got real distant. And so one day, his owner carelessly filled the bowl just a little bit. And little fishy swam down, and with one mighty surge, he jumped over the edge of his little bowl, and he landed on the floor. And he's laying there, and at first he was exhilarated, thinking, I'm free! I'm free! I'm free! Fish were not created to live outside. And the last thing he saw before he closed his little eyes in death was old Tappy licking the lips thinking, dinner. You see, God sets you free, but in a certain environment. You're free in the spirit. Amen, but you're not free in the flesh. There are still things this flesh can must not do and maintain a relationship with God. Amen. And you know why? Because this is the environment we thrive in. But you get out of this environment, you will die spiritually. Amen. The Bible said, darkness, what fellowship have light with God? They don't mix. Light will always win. Light will always conquer the darkness. And we live in a kingdom of light. We have no place in the darkness. You know, people that have never been converted don't really understand the depth of their sinfulness. But when you've been set free, you do. You see, they think that's just life because they don't know any better. But once God has brought you out of darkness into His marvelous light, you know differently. You can't go back there and be what you used to be. Amen. You can go back there, but you're not going to be happy. Amen. You'll be out there with the rest of them doing what they do. And all of a sudden, that spirit will rise up in your heart and say, what in the world are you doing here? You'll hear a song, and it'll trigger something in your heart. And there'll be a longing for home. Amen. Other people will be talking about the Bible and you know truth, and that truth starts ringing. Amen. And you can't help it because you have been in light. And when you've been in light, darkness just won't do. God calls you to be born into an environment that have liberty and freedom. Oh, how free we are. And those of us that have been serving God a good while don't even remember how free. We're so accustomed to this. I'm not saying we take it for granted. God help us to never do that. But we just get so used to living in this liberty. It's normal for us. Thank God that it is. Amen. I don't want to be like a fish. I'm smarter than that. Amen. I know better than that. Amen. This is what I was created to live in. This is what I was created. walk in the liberty of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, let me close with this. John 15:5, Jesus said to us, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. What happens when a branch gets separated from the trunk? It dies. Because everything it needs to produce comes from the trunk. And I can't live without Jesus Christ. Amen. I have been engrafted in him. And everything that I need for life and goodness and righteousness and joy and peace comes through him too. And because of that, my life will produce fruit as long as I'm attached to him. But if I get separated, you see, that's why I say it's my declaration of independence. I need you. I will never be independent again. I will never be independent again. Amen. That's why we sing that song, Jesus, hold my hand. I need you now. Amen. Have you ever watched a child and made you remember when you were a child? Decided to get a little independent. Mama reached down and picked your hand and gripped your hand. I'm going to follow. I'll show you how to make my own way. And then you started trotting off and you stumbled over your shoelaces or your foot and your little nose contacted the floor. And you looked up at Mama and you put up your hands bawling and squalling. I need you, Mama. Amen. And she graciously picked you up and loved you and stopped your nose bleeding. And it was good until the next time. And then you got to be a few years older and you got to thinking, well, you know, my mom and dad really don't know. They don't know what's right. They don't really know. I know. I know what's good. They don't know what's good for me. I know what's good. They're just trying to tell me that I shouldn't do this, but I know this is the right thing for me. They're just old. Went down that road. What is it about 12, 13, we get omniscience, we get baptized with omniscience? Amen. There's just something about it. We get to who we know. That's that independent strength. I know. No. Amen. You need him. If you will understand right now that you need him, that you always need him. Always need him. Always need him. And I know folks got to go to church. I serve God my own way. I don't need to preach, don't need to pastor, don't need nobody. I'm so spiritual. Nobody teach me anything. Don't need nobody. Just Jesus, that's all I need. That's it. Did you ever think that maybe we need you? If you're really that good and that smart, I'm sure. We need him, folks. I don't know about you, but I want to tell him that I need him. I'm going to declare my dependence today on Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. Let's look to the Lord here.